The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. It is a Monday, and I pray you and yours had a blessed weekend. And as always, we begin this segment with our impact segment, 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. I was going to begin with two news stories that have to do with January the 6th, but I'm going to put it off for later in the hour. Right before I got on the air, I just prayed briefly. And what I am led to do, and it's your call, is to, first of all, open the phone lines, 888-528-2557. And I do this from time to time. I want to invite those of you that have issue with some stance I've taken since I've been doing this program. It may have to do with my faith, you don't agree about Christianity, or it may be something more recent. I have been somewhat outspoken about the way the elections went down, and a lot of other things. January 6th, there's two news stories here. The House has approved a commission to investigate, and there has been a charge over the weekend of someone that was at the riot on the 6th, and he doesn't fit the mold of what the left and the media has been pushing down our throats. So I just want to give you an opportunity. If you have something you want to discuss with me or you have a disagreement, I've gotten, for whatever reasons, over the weekend, a little more than the average amount of people saying, hey, I don't agree with you, or hey, why don't you address this, or, oh, I don't know. So I just want to give you the impact segment, and if we get no calls, we'll jump right into the two news stories. Just give you an opportunity to call in and voice your disagreement up about a particular issue. One of the accusations in an email of a new listener, he says, I never let people that disagree on the air. And I'm thinking, well, okay, that's not the truth as I know it, but I just want to prioritize. If you have an issue, if you want to take me to task, if you have a disagreement, this is your time. 888-528-2557. And the phone lines are wide open. My only request, my only disclaimer is that you can be respectful about your disagreement. You don't get to get on the air and rant and rave and yell and scream. Like we had a caller, it's been like 4 weeks now, and I won't tolerate that. But if you have disagreement about something, specifically, by which we can engage in a conversation, I would love that. John Cooper, lead singer of Skillet, is doing interviews, and he's speaking out against critical race theory. And he says part of the problem is that we're not having honest conversations. He said honest conversations are really hard to have these days because people are ready to fight and argue. He said, so I just pray that I could be full of the Spirit of God in order to be gracious towards someone that I disagree with. He said, I can't be responsible if they will reciprocate that to me. I know that I have strong opinions, he says, but I really want to have those conversations. So that's my heart. I would really like to have those conversations with you. 888-528-2557. Why do you listen to this program if we have disagreement? And if you have something specific you'd like to address, you think I'm unfair, short-sighted, or you just want to have a conversation, we have four open lines. 888-528-2557. All other topics, if you're calling in to say, well, no, Frank embraces disagreement, not going to take your call. I want this segment to just be people that have issue. And it's just going to be for this segment. We're going to move on after impact, or maybe even sooner. If you're listening now, and maybe you all agree with me. Right? Ultimately, I would hope, as followers of Christ, we can all agree on God's word, not necessarily agree with man. But literally, before I went on the air, I always pray, sometimes quicker than other times, and it was just, no, invite people to have honest conversations about ideas that we may not agree on. 888-528-2557. So specifically in the area of disagreement, those are the calls I am inviting on the air right now. Now, I may take a call or two, and I'm not sure what it says on the screen, but if that is not your call, I want you to fit and follow the topic here at hand, which I'll say again to be a little repetitive. If you have disagreement with anything I've said, if you want to take issue with me, now is the time to air things out. I want to have an honest conversation with you. I had lamented on the air last Friday about a dear lifelong friend who no longer talks to me because he got all wigged out after, I don't know, I think it was after Donald Trump got elected in office. I think it's been that long that I had actually posted my support for him. So we've got Adam San Diego. You welcome conflicting sentiments. Thank you. We're going to move on, Adam. We want to make sure that phone is open for somebody that has disagreement. Tony and Whittier, kids go to prep school, counselors imply white privilege. Oh, somebody has a conflicting opinion. Adam does? Oh, okay, then let me take Adam. We have lines open, 888-528-2557. Adam in San Diego, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hello.
Hi, Adam.
Am I speaking to the gentleman, the DJ?
I'm not a DJ, sir. I'm a talk show host, and yes, you're on the air with me.
I'm sorry. I may have used the wrong word. The talk show host. Yeah, hi. My name's Adam, calling you out of San Diego. I've listened to your program a number of times in commute and moving around in my days to do's, and I appreciate you welcoming someone voicing up. Yes, there has been a couple instances, sir, and I'll just try to keep it short and sweet. What you have opted to do to mix politics and religion was bound to give you some pushback in the first place, so that you have a humble attitude towards what I, for example, would like to say today I think is important. Not everyone is a sheeple. Not everyone...
Let me interrupt you. Do you disagree with some of my positions? That's what the conversations are to be had. So tell me your disagreement so we can have an honest conversation.
That's what I'm trying to get into. I'm trying to, you know, I realize I'm on the air and I'm trying to be respectful of a short amount of time.
No, I appreciate that. Time is of the essence. Yeah. So it's the only reason why I'm pushing you a little bit, but I appreciate your kindness.
In short, when you say things like, for example, you just said maybe 2 minutes ago, the left's influenced by the media or something to the like, not everyone on the left gets their character, their moral stance, their principles, what the media says. They would base it on, for example, the former president has cheated on all three of his wives, and the last cheat was with his current wife while she was nursing his son with a porn star.
Okay, now, hold on. I need a clarification. First of all, define the left, because I think you may misunderstand what I mean by the left. And what that has to do with Donald Trump's moral failings is beyond me, but okay. Define what you mean by the left.
Well, okay, so I don't necessarily call it the left, but it's considered the aisle. So if it would be technical, left of the aisle or right of the aisle.
No such thing. Republican. No such thing.
Yeah.
So let me be clear so you understand. When I make reference to the left, I'm talking about socialism. I'm talking about agendas that are being pushed forth right now. Not liberal policies. Hold on. Not liberal policies. People that are liberals aren't necessarily of the left. But people on the left are not liberals, clearly. And we see that unfolding now in the early tenets of this new administration, who is filled with people on the left. We even have the Democrat Party that has been commandeered by the left. I was a lifelong Democrat for most of my life, left-wing progressive, no longer. But people that are Democrats now and identify themselves as Christians, that's another area I just don't understand, and I'd like to have that conversation. So just to be clear, I talk about the left, that's who I'm talking about. And the media is a mouthpiece for the left.
Who is the right?
Who is the right? People that have conservative ideologies? So share
Simple
your disagreement. Again, this is about disagreement. So you want to call in and...
I've got disagreement. I'm waiting for my opportunity to voice it.
Yeah, you just want to get on and talk about Donald Trump's moral failings.
No.
Okay.
No. I understand I'm your first call. You might be already in a defensive state, but I'm not sure if I'll be able to get this through unless you, like, really give me the opportunity to
You've been on 4 minutes.
I'm trying to be respectful.
You've been on 4 minutes. Time's of the essence. Tell me what you disagree about, specifically.
All right. Okay. I disagree that you are polarizing on a religious platform. I don't think you know who Christ really is. I hope you have a good day.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad that you know my relationship with God. Now, that I wish you would have come out of the gate and said, I don't believe that you are a follower of Christ or whatever. That would have been a deep and rich conversation instead of you, for a minute, being very kind, which, again, thank you. And then you said something about Donald Trump cheating, and now 4 minutes later, you get in, you don't really think I'm a whatever paraphrasing it is. Next time, call Adam and just get right to it. We can be respectful and have that conversation. Thank you for the call today. Eric in Compton, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. Been a while. A guy called you a couple of months ago, about a month and a half ago, and he was explaining the Georgia Guidestones. Do you remember that conversation?
I don't.
Okay. I'll try and give you the short version. There's some guy, he said, my name is R.C. Christian, but he told him that's not my real name. It's a pseudonym. And he had him build this huge monument in Elberton, Georgia. And it's in granite. The reason with Elberton is the granite capital of the world, used to be. That's why he had him build it. And he had inscribed in like 12 different languages the globalist like agenda or Ten Commandments, so to speak.
Okay.
And I'm just interested in the first one. The first one was reduce the world's population to 500 million.
So you're going to get to the part where you disagree with me.
You told him you did not believe that there were people in the world that wanted to kill off millions of people.
I don't subscribe to that ideology. Are there evil people in the world? Of course. They have come and gone, and we have evil people in the world right now. But I'm not going to live my life under fear that somehow someone wants to wipe out humanity.
I'm not talking about living your life or being in fear. You know, I believe you know the Lord. I know you know the Lord. So I'm not worried about you living in fear. But I just wanted to make the statement that there are people out there. They've made quotes, Jacques Cousteau, Ted Turner. They've made quotes about how they want to get rid, they want to get the world's population down in balance with nature or some foolishness. It's the first one, check them out, the Georgia Guidestones. I think that there are people in the world who subscribe to this philosophy, Franklin, want to kill off millions of people to get the world's population down. They think we're overcrowded, which we're not, but they actually believe we're overcrowded.
Eric, I appreciate your call. I'll look into it. Thank you for sharing. I do think that we're going to enter a season now of a lot of the media pushing climate change. I would not even be surprised if somehow, some way, lockdowns can be weaved into that one. I mean, we're starting to see here in California with gas prices going up, products all across the country going up, inflation on the rise. Someone could maybe say, well, these are just misguided policies, or this new administration has it, or thank goodness it's not the previous administration. But I think that's all part of the left, as I tried to share with, I don't recall his name, the first caller. These are positions that want to literally wipe out the middle class in our country. And I don't think there's, well, I'll save it for a conversation. I am not a supporter of the present administration in any way, shape, or form. We've got 888-528-2557. Board's open. We've got Tony on hold who wants to talk about something that's not the topic. So I guess today many of you or all of you agree with me, which, again, I don't want you to agree with me. If you are a follower of Christ, I want us to agree that the Bible is true and inerrant. I took a call, was it last week or maybe the week before, from a guy that said he was Christian, didn't believe the Bible. We got into a very interesting conversation on the air. I asked him what he believed when he said he was Christian. What did that mean? And he said, well, he believed in Jesus. And then I asked him if he believed Jesus was crucified and rose on the third day. And in a very rhetorical avoidance, he said, no. And I'm like, well, I'm not so sure you can define your faith as Christianity if you don't believe Jesus rose on the third day. That's kind of the cornerstone of our faith. And maybe, you know, we'll push a few more moments here. Impact is almost over. We've got a couple open lines, 888-528-2557. Maybe this is just planting seeds. I want to have honest conversations. By the way, the first caller's callback said I didn't let him talk. Adam, you're on 4.5 minutes. Thank you. Bye-bye. Literally, calls get 2 or 3 minutes. So if you want to play the victim that I didn't give you a chance to talk, and then you had your little parting shot that I'm not really a Christian, that's fine. But I've first of all, I'm not going to let you back on the air. We don't do that. That's not protocol. You had your time. Call tomorrow. Call Wednesday. Call Thursday. Call Friday. I'll put you on the air every day and give you plenty of time to kind of hash out your disagreement. But don't play a victim. That really tends to undermine your kindness to start, which I appreciated. Made me go back and listen to the podcast. I tried to insist, okay, thanks, that's nice, but you got to get to your point. You never did. And then somebody else wants to talk the Georgia Guidestone. Okay, we're going to move on. I guess we have no more disagreements. By the way, maybe you can't call if you want to email. I'll check the emails out when I have time. Maybe this is just, it was an experiment. Somewhat failed by my standards, but I tend to be hard on myself. Maybe next time, maybe we can have like a particular day of the month, like a segment where we can actually have a name. And it will be undeniable. This is anything can happen Monday. Okay. We'll work on that on our end. But just know, honest conversations, that's the heart of what I want to get to. So when we return, two stories on the incident on January 6th. With, by the way, if you support the new administration, talking about this is the worst attack on American soil since the Civil War, January 6th, 500,000 people were killed during the Civil War. One person was shot and killed on January the 6th, and she was a Trump supporter. Perfect example. You support the present administration and you buy that? How can you do that? So when we come back, there is A commission to investigate January 6th has been approved by the House. We'll see what the Senate does. And also, there has been, it's not an arrest, it's a charge of a man whose name has popped up time and time again. Last summer, with a lot of the rioting going across the country. And this defeats the narrative, or at least doesn't go consistent with the narrative that somehow this insurrection was all from Trump people. What am I talking about? Well, obviously, we'll share that with you next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Before we move on and get into the next topic in this segment, I have to tell you, radio is such an interesting medium. We had a call from listener Adam in San Diego, who I guess wasn't happy that I didn't let him back on the air. You should see the emails I've received. Adam, you didn't make a good first impression. I'll just say that. I'm sincere. I mean this. Call back on another program and get right to it. I have no need to be right. That's not my position. That's what I used to do before I became a follower of Christ, of which you question my faith. Okay. But I'm interested in truth with a capital T. I'm interested in honest conversations by which we can maybe disagree and learn from each other. Truth is important. Feelings and emotions, not so much. Let me share one last thing. Some of you will sit up and say, I don't agree with that. That's fine. You will never derive truth if you rely on emotions and feelings. Your emotions and feelings can tell you one thing one moment, and they're illusory, and the next moment you can have a completely different sense about something. But truth with a capital T, as is the case in God's word, is forever. It's constant. It never changes. It never returns void. And if you take issue with my faith, so be it. That's a conversation to be had. We have stories time and time again in the news of organizations and groups that try to bully faith-based, whether it's small towns or people's right to practice their own faith. I think about Joe Kennedy, the high school coach who was still out of a job, actually went through the courts, and I think they're on appeal right now, but he had the audacity. A number of years ago, I may have the timing wrong. I want to say it was like 2014. High school football coach, after the game, walked out by himself to the 50-yard line and prayed a brief prayer by himself. That was it. And then that grew over time where he didn't say, hey, guys, meet me at the 50 after the game. We're going to pray. Nothing like that. My understanding is some of the players said, hey, coach, do you mind if we join you? He's like, no, it's open to anybody. We just want to give a prayer of thanks. Well, that grew. Somebody got their little nose bent out of line. And the next thing you know, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is ranting and raving about, well, that hurts people of other faiths, man. You're out there praying to your God, and what about others? You're being selective and you're being insensitive, and that may offend them. Lawsuits were filed. Joe Kennedy had an opportunity to stop praying, and he said no. Well, he's no longer coaching. By the way, this is a veteran who served our country. Wanted to help out young men coaching. And as of now, he hasn't been in that mode for, it's been a few years now. If you know nothing of the Joe Kennedy story, let me share a little bit.
I was watching TV in the middle of the night, and I came across a movie called Facing the Giants, and it was like a gut check to me. It was, you know, where God really spoke to me and said, hey, I'm calling you to do this. And I hate to admit it, but I was on my knees in tears after watching that. It was the sign. And I said, you know, hey, God, I'm going to give you the glory no matter what, just like in the movie. No matter what, I'm going to give you the glory, win or lose, on the 50 after every single game. And that's what I've been doing for the past 8 years.
For 8 years. That's what he was doing for 8 years until somebody got a little upset. And next thing you know, hey, you can't pray out there, coach.
When I first started out, it was just myself. I first started just praying myself, giving, you know, thanks for what the players just did and the opportunity to be part of it. And before long, it started being more and more kids. Our kids started inviting the other teams. Even our most bitter rivals were out there with us, which was really amazing. I just lift up both helmets, ours and opposing teams, and I just say, I'd like to lift these guys up for what they just did. They battled for 48 minutes, and what started, you know, as a war, we could all leave off, you know, as friends.
Now, you hear that, and I realize now that I'm a follower of Christ, I get that. It's inspiring to me. It's honoring to God. And in my previous, as a New Age teacher, and very much in rebellion against God, I don't know if that would have upset me or not. It may have. Other things upset me that I look back on now and talk about spending a time in my life when I was lost and didn't even realize it. But when you hear a guy say, you know, even players from the opposing team come out and we just kind of get together and you know, we left it all on the field. And I mean, isn't that what camaraderie, isn't that what sports in part are supposed to be about? Where you face each other in battle, and then when all is said and done, you have somebody that's won and lost, but you honor and respect each other? How can that be a bad thing? Well, he's praying to God. Not okay. It's just amazing to me, a group like the Freedom From Religion Foundation, who don't believe in God. They are anti-God. They have awards called Not Afraid to Burn in Hell Weekly Award. And yet they go after primarily Christians, schools, entities, individuals that have the audacity to try to practice their faith. Here's a little more Joe Kennedy.
It's not the X's and O's and winning football games. It's watching these guys overcoming the things that they go through in life and emerging as a stronger person because of it, and knowing that you get them for such a small time in their life and being able to be part of it.
I didn't view it as a prayer at all. He didn't say like anything like under God or anything involving like religion. He just kind of gave us like a post-game speech.
Just magical, because it brought everybody, even the other teams, back together as like just people, and it was awesome. This is what a team is about. At the end of the game, to come together.
He always had the right thing to say.
Some of the players, just weighing in on then-coach Kennedy. There was an article on him probably 6, 7, 8 months ago. He is evidently collecting a pension from the military, not coaching now. And I think there is still appeals processes going on right now, but it's just very interesting. What is it about this Jesus guy? Right? There's something for those that don't follow Christ. And I look back on my time when I wasn't a follower. People would call I did a radio show 21 years. Spiritual, but not religious. I was a New Age teacher. And the Christians would call up, and I just couldn't hang up on them fast enough. I'd mock Christ on the air. Now, my experience, can I derive that and put that on everybody else? No. But it may give me a little of an indication of why some people that aren't followers of Christ, why they are so reactive, why they don't like when someone just wants to practice their faith. Now, for me, what I have derived way after the fact, many years after the fact, I realized that when I was walking as a non-believer, on some level, my anger, my over-defensiveness was just me not willing to come to grips with, on some level, I had doubts, let's just say, about my position in life. And was I right with God? See, I acknowledge God. All sorts of people acknowledge God. Yeah, I believe in God. Or even I'm a Christian. But when you get kind of into the nuts and bolts, what does that mean? There's some people, it means nothing other than you identify as a Christian. Yeah, I know Jesus, and he talked about love, and that's good for me. When we're talking about, in this day and age, an ability to practice your own faith, religious freedom, there are scores of people. As Billy Graham once said, the cross is offensive. It causes people to choose. There is something about this Jesus figure. And so that's at the core of why I'm here. And there are some that will accuse, well, you mix politics in with religion. Your point? What, I should not talk about life? And maybe we need to come to an understanding of what you mean by politics, quote unquote. We've just had 14 months where the government, at different stages of the pandemic, in my view, have overstepped their bounds. And many people freely gave up their own rights. We have people right now walking around that I believe are absolutely traumatized, still wearing masks in their car. Like I may never give up my mask. And you have that right. If you want to walk around with a mask on, I have no issue with you. But then it gets to the other side. That if I walk around without a mask, oh, you could have issue with me. Did you get the vaccine? Well, if you did, then why are you worried about me? You supposedly, you've been inoculated. What's the point of the vaccine if you can't live your life without a mask and go back to living your life? You're worried about those that didn't get the vaccine. Rand Paul's in the news. A guy that got COVID shortly after we started hearing about it last year. I made the mistake last night, been a while, went on my Twitter account just to kind of look around, and I forgot how vile a lot of the exchanges are on Twitter. Rand Paul was trending, and I'm like, uh-oh. And it was just all about how this man had the audacity to say he's not going to get the vaccination. And using the excuse somehow he had COVID. When the CDC tells you, well, we don't know for how long you're immune, so you better take that shot. It's a little wacky in the lack of logic department, because I can use the same counter by saying, let me get this straight. You had the vaccine. The CDC doesn't say, they don't know how long you're going to still be immune. But yet, you're pointing the finger at people that exercise their rights not to. What's really going on here? Why are we so at each other? Whether it's over, oh, I don't know, the quote-unquote pandemic or racism. Are there powers that be that are driving a division between people? I think they are. In fact, Charles Barkley, of all people, has been pretty vocal about that one. We don't want to, if you have a united country, that we can be united in our disagreement, that's threatening to the power structure. How do they attain more power if they don't get you against each other, or you're willing to give up your rights. And I read reports over the weekend, depending on where you live and what you partake in, pandemic's over. I watched Phil Mickelson win yesterday in South Carolina. They had to have 20,000 people on that course. Jammed in, no masks, not a mention of the announcers. But then you come back here to the West. Oh, my goodness. People still driving in cars with masks on. I went for a run yesterday. Somebody yelled at me, "Put your mask on!" Unity. There's only one unifier. Ultimately, his name is Jesus Christ. 888-528-2557. The House has approved a commission to investigate January the 6th. And charges have been filed against someone that was there that day. And he clearly doesn't fit the narrative of what we've been hearing over and over again about what happened on that day of insurrection. We'll talk about that next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. We're going to jump right into the next two news stories. The U.S. House has voted to create what they call an independent commission to investigate the January 6th breach of the Capitol. Independent is the operative word. I don't think there'll be anything independent about it. We'll see if the Senate votes on this. The National Commission to Investigate the January 6th Attack on the U.S. Capitol Complex Act, also known as H.R. 3233, is modeled after the investigation into the 9/11 attacks. The proposed measure would create in the legislative branch an independent, quote-unquote, 10-member commission to investigate, quote, the relevant facts and circumstances related to the attack on the Capitol. Yeah. I'm not in that mindset. Don't buy it for a moment. I think that's the left trying to push their agenda. Because we've heard it's been nothing but Trump supporters and insurrection, greatest attack on U.S. soil since the Civil War, according to Joe Biden. Are you kidding me? 500,000 people died in the Civil War. One person was shot and killed on January the 6th, and Ashley Babbitt was a Trump supporter. And then this one, the Department of Justice has seized $90,000 from a Utah man who sold footage of Ashley Babbitt being shot during the Capitol breach. John Earl Sullivan, we've talked about him on the program, a political activist who reportedly attended Black Lives Matter protests last year and who allegedly agitated rioters inside the Capitol, has also been charged with new weapons charges, according to documents that have been unsealed. Sullivan portrayed himself in those documents as an independent journalist who was just there reporting on the chaos. But there is evidently video footage. He actually encouraged other participants to, quote, burn, end quote, the building and engage in violence. Sullivan's accused of having a conversation with others who breached the building, told them, quote, "We got to get this bleep burned. There are so many people. Let's go. This bleep is ours. Bleep, yeah." He allegedly cheered after he and protesters entered the Capitol. He went on to say, "We accomplished this blank. We did this together. Bleep, yeah. We are all part of this history, and let's burn this bleep down." Documents accused him of calling on others to burn the Capitol down multiple times. At one point, he's also heard saying, quote, "I'm ready, bro. I've been to too many riots. I've been in so many riots. It would be fire if someone had revolutionary music and bleep." This is according to prosecutors who say Sullivan told this to others. After leaving the Capitol, Sullivan was seen, according to prosecutors, telling another individual that, quote, "He brought my megaphone to instigate bleep and wanted to make these Trump supporters bleep all this bleep up. Sullivan recorded a video of the confrontation between riders and police near the House chamber that included the shooting of Ashley Babbitt. This is all according to court filings. Sullivan bragged to a witness, quote, "My footage is worth like millions and millions of dollars," end quote. Sullivan actually sold some of the footage to several news outlets for a total of $90,000. This is according to a seizure warrant. After the breach, Sullivan appeared on several corporate media outlets, including CNN and MSNBC. I think Anderson Cooper interviewed him on CNN. That's something you need to go back and watch. During a CNN appearance, Sullivan said he was, quote, "not on the Trump side or the MAGA side," end quote. He was just there to document the incident. July of last summer, Sullivan was arrested in Utah for alleged rioting, making a threat of violence, criminal mischief because he engaged in a riot that resulted in the shooting of a motorist amid nationwide Black Lives Matter demonstrations last year. He was named as an organizer in a police affidavit. Later on December 28, Sullivan wrote on Twitter that he supported, quote, "an armed revolution," saying that it, quote, "is the only way to bring about change effectively." Using the nickname Jaden X online, Sullivan tweeted just days before the Capitol breach that the system should be burned to the ground, while adding anti-capitalist, anti-Trump, and pro-Black Lives Matter hashtags. January 2nd, days before the breach, Sullivan's account wrote, "bleep the system, time to burn it all down. Hashtag BLM, hashtag Antifa, hashtag abolish capitalism, hashtag abolish the police, hashtag bleep Trump." Sullivan's lawyer, Stephen Kirsch, said that the government should not seize his money. Quote, "the proceeds of the seized bank account are not the product of criminal activity alleged in the indictment," end quote. But that doesn't fit the narrative. It's an insurrection. We've got a 3-mile barbed wire fence around the Capitol now because of white supremacists. How can this be? Now, for the sake of record, again, some of you may have heard the program for the first time today. Let me be clear. I think there were a lot of Trump supporters that were there. And if they broke the law, they need to be prosecuted to the full extent. But I also believe we're being sold a false bill of goods. There was another video that came out last week. I think it was 44 seconds of a larger video that showed Capitol Hill police letting the protesters in. One was the dude with the horns that, by the way, is still, I believe, in solitary confinement. It hasn't been charged. Boy, he was an insurrectionist, right? How many weapons charges have these 400 that have been variously charged? Not one gun. Again, one person was shot and killed, Ashley Babbitt, a pro-Trump supporter. And yet, they continue to lie that somehow this was an armed insurrection. Talked about the death of Brian Sicknick, the Capitol Hill police officer who tragically passed away. His family said, after news reports fell all over themselves, Anderson Cooper and his crew, that somehow Brian Sicknick was beaten with a fire extinguisher by Trump supporters, bludgeoned. Truth comes out. Lies. You hear things, 5 people died. Well, that's true. Ashley Babbitt was killed. Brian Sicknick died of, I think the coroner just came out and said something. He may have had a heart attack or something along those lines. And the other 3, I think one died of a stroke, another died of heart failure, but we hear 5 died that day. It's they're lies. And again, prosecuted to the full extent of the law. I am pro-law enforcement. You're dumb enough to be caught there and going into a Capitol building, you need to be prosecuted. But even when we talk about, you know, the president and in the impeachment, they were told that he led the insurrection. Don't even get me going on election abnormalities. I got a list a mile long. But we can't even bring that up. I stand for the truth. How about you? This is the Frank Sontag Show.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.